Welcome to the morning meeting with Sarah and Jess,
where the tea is hot, the wine is chilled, and no topic is off limits. Pull up a chair and join us. There is room for all of you here.
We won't limit seating, we'll just build a bigger table.
Let's begin today's meeting.
So on this week's agenda for the morning meeting, we are having a quick chat, a quick catch up to see how your week's been going. And then we'll jump right into part two with our conversation with Tara Forgeron from Tara Forgeron Psychology. And then we'll wrap it up. We end with some Would You Rathers with Tara, like we will every episode. But we really hope you enjoy it. But first, let's jump into our weeks. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Great.
That's good.
How's your week going?
My week has been a week. We've had some under the weather babies, lots of interrupted sleep. It's been a week, but the weekend things are looking up. So we're doing better. We've survived.
Sarah, honestly, when you were telling me the babies were sick, I just went back to every time that Logan was sick and always thought to myself, imagine there was two sick, or like you had a sick sibling with the one, like two
right.
sick, like,
right.
Oh my God.
Two sick babies. Yeah, it was.
Oh God.
It was one for the books, definitely. I mean, it was cold, turned little ear infection in one of them. They were teething, you know. When it rains, it pours. It rained. I poured some wine. So yeah. We made it through. It was okay.
Honestly, yeah. Parenting is the reason why Jesus created wine. I'm sure of it.
And we're forever grateful.
Yeah. So, but the week's looking up now though, right?
It is. Yeah. We've been having a better weekend. The boys seem to have turned a corner. Their teeth popped through as well. So, you know. It's always the teeth.
Yeah.
I blame everything on teeth.
Same.
This too shall pass. Knock on wood. It has passed, or it's passing. The teeth thing, though, in parenting, isn't that kind of like the opposite of coconut oil in adulthood? Or like breast milk? Like, you know, it fixes everything. Like, oh, just add some coconut oil. Put some coconut oil on that. Put some breast milk on that. Well, anything that goes awry, it's blamed on teeth. Like, oh, I think they're teething.
Absolutely.
Bad mood, teething. Absolutely. Crying, teething. You know, everything. Red cheeks, teething. Runny bum, teething. Just everything. Oh, I think their teeth. I think a tooth is coming. Well, we've been saying that for 3 months. I think their teeth are coming in.
Well, because they teeth or whatever the hell, like teeth for 3 freaking years.
I know.
3 years. Logan still doesn't have all of his teeth. He's got the back molars that got to get going in. And he's going to be 3 in August.
Yeah, How is your week going?
Good. I mean, I'm having a great week. The sun finally decided to come back out.
Thank goodness.
So if you're on the East Coast, I think it was like most people, like where I feel like I saw it everywhere, that everyone was in Rainville for a solid week.
Yeah.
But the cheeseburger birds are back out. They're singing. It's
the
all
cheeseburger
good.
Birds?
Yeah, you know, the cheeseburger birds.
No, I do not know. What are the cheeseburger birds?
Cheeseburger.
You know, like it sounds like they say that?
Yeah, cheeseburger. Do you not hear it?
Well, I'm never gonna not be able to hear that now, but I've never heard that before. Did you make this up, or did you grow up with this?
No, I'm pretty sure I heard it on the Trailer Park Boys like 100 years ago.
Okay.
The cheeseburger birds.
I am dying.
Tell me everyone listening knows about the cheeseburger birds.
If it was a Trailer Park Boys thing, they definitely, people know. I don't, though. Yeah. I can't believe I don't know that. That's hilarious.
Well, now you know.
Now I know.
It's a sure sign of spring.
Yeah,
when
it's
the
lovely.
Cheeseburger birds come out.
Well, I wonder if it was a cheeseburger bird that made a little home up in our soffit or our, what's it called? Like underneath our gutter. Yeah, it's a soffit, I think. But one of our vents, the cap came off of it. So it's a perfect little hole to get into that like overhang on our house.
Soffit and fascia?
Yeah. So like that. Yeah. Soffit and fascia. Like, you know, the underhang, like underneath your gutter.
Yeah.
Well, the vents that's in our back of on those, one of them fell, came out. And it was a hole. Yeah. And I kept saying, like, there's a bird that's going to get up there and build a nest in, like, our attic or wherever that leads. I don't know. Anyway, I saw it. It's right outside of Beau's window. A bird went up yesterday. So Pat had to climb a big ladder. And he was didn't want to go up there. And he was slightly terrified of what was going to come out. And I gave him little kitchen tongs to go in the hole, make sure he caught them all. He was like, why aren't you climbing up the ladder if you know how to, like... approach this. I was like, because honey, you're the ladder guy, you can do it. That was our Saturday, getting the bird's nest over, like, our soffit system.
It's, you know, when you're young, you can't wait to like own a home, be out on your own. You don't realize some of the shit you gotta deal with.
I get a bird's nest out of your soffit system, call me if any of you out there have that problem with cheeseburger birds this spring.
Oh my god, I did get my nails done this week though.
Yeah, it's okay. Tell us about that.
It's been a while. I got a pedicure, and then while I was there, I was like, you know what? I'm going to get my nails done too. Why not? It was reverse. I got the nails done, and then I decided I wanted the pedicure.
Did they, whoever was doing your nails, comment on your baby toe?
Not the baby toe. Didn't comment on the stub, but when I inquired to get my nails done, like my fingernails.
Yeah.
So if you know me at all, you know I have just a lot of anxiety. It's just constant. Like, I'm always just chewing my nails off. It's just like, it's how I like get comfort. I just like go right to the nails and start. I don't even know I'm doing it. If I'm stressed out at all, like that's what happens. But for some reason in these last few weeks, I decided not to bite my nails anymore. I'm just not going to do it.
Good.
And I didn't.
I'm so proud of you.
So I'm walking into the mall and I'm proud. I'm like thinking to myself, look at these nails that I've grown. Like, they're finally long enough to get some polish on there. I'm pumped. So I get in there and she's like, do you want long nails? And I was like, no, I just want shellac. She was like, oh, are you sure? I'm like, girl, I've been growing these puppies out for weeks.
These hurry are up and long paint them. Nails.
Hurry up and paint them before they're gone again. Like... So I'm excited. They look cute.
You're ready to go. They do look really cute. I like the little fancy one you got there.
Yeah, I went a little wild. I got a little iridescent flare on one of the nails, which anyway, apparently it's a chrome nail, not iridescent.
Is that new? Yeah, is that a new trend?
I don't think it's new. Okay. I think it's been around.
All right.
I don't know if it makes me like 12 years old that I got an iridescent nail.
Well, I don't think so. I think it looks cool.
But I don't care. Yeah, it's cute. Logan really likes it. Maybe that's my answer.
Mary.
I love your nails, mommy.
So cute.
You're so shiny.
How did it feel to be there by yourself for that like hour or two it took to do your nails?
It was really nice, I have to say. And I was having mom guilt because I had already... Why did I leave the house that day? I can't remember what I went up to give a gift to my friend. She's having a baby. And I was gone for a couple of hours. So then when I decided I wanted to get my nails done, I said to Daniel, I'm going to have to go once Logan's down. But then Daniel had plans to go somewhere else that he already had. It was this whole thing.
Right.
So then he's like, well, why don't you just go right now? And I was like, well, because Logan's awake right now and I've already left for 2 hours today. And he's looking at me like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, I feel guilty because I already left once today. I feel like I can't leave again.
Right.
And he's just looking at me like, you are nuts.
Right.
Like, what did Tara just explain in the podcast last week? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So I went.
Good.
So thank you, Tara.
And did it feel good?
And Daniel reminded me of that. Yeah.
Good. Thank you, Daniel.
And then he put Logan to bed. And when I got home, I was like, did Logan miss me? And he was like, I hate to tell you this, but no.
I know.
Like, he didn't. He
Isn't
didn't.
Isn't that the question? Like, how do you answer? It's like, if I say yes, you're upset. If I say no, you're upset. Like, what's going to make you happier here? If he missed you or he didn't?
Exactly. So anyway, it was all good. I'm really glad I went.
Good. And you listened to Tara. So Tara, I'm sure you're listening that you... taught us well. I've had Tara on my mind all week too about like mindfulness and the things we talked about in part one. So if you're joining us for this episode, we'll play part two of our conversation with Tara Forgeron from Tara Forgeron Psychology in just a minute. Learning and laughing with Tara, it's been great. Part one we dropped last week with Tara, and we talked about mindfulness and mom guilt and boundary setting and the myth of motivation. And I think I've thought about all of those topics this past week and some of the things that we were doing or I was doing, just like you, Jess. You had Tara on the brain saying like, okay, she said this is okay. So some
yes,
good
and
lessons.
So did others. We've got a ton of messages from listeners, but I had someone actually stop me in like the daycare parking lot being like, oh my God, this episode was so good. And everyone is like chomping at the bit to get to episode two and so impatient.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they should be. It will be well worth the wait.
Yeah. I'm like, I voted for one episode two, but
it was so close. The vote was so close.
It was.
I think it was one or two votes in the difference between the two. So we just went with what won, which was splitting it into part two. But that was a tough call. That was hard to do. Oh, Jessica, what are you drinking today?
Peach bubbly.
Me too. I'm dying. Okay. Was I right or was I right? Do I know you or what?
Cheers.
Cheers.
I am so glad you told me to try the peach.
It's so
good. You saw my reaction. I couldn't believe how good the peach was. I reach for the peach before the pineapple every single time.
You know what? I do too. It's surprising.
This might be an unpopular opinion. I'm actually interested in what others think. But am I the only one that prefers their bubbly at room temperature versus cold?
Ooh, interesting. Is it because when it's cold, it's too fizzy?
Yes.
Yeah, I understand that. I do understand that.
Yeah. It is. So I've always had my bubbly just room temperature. I don't even know why. I think probably because most of the time I have it, I'm at work and I don't have a fridge in my office. But these cans I've had in the fridge. So this morning when I took a drink, I was like, oh, that was really, really fizzy.
Right.
I didn't like that. I didn't like that at all.
Interesting. So, I wonder what others think. We'll have to pop a poll up on our Insta and see if they like it cold or room temp.
Hmm. What are you doing over there? I keep seeing you scratching at your armpit.
I got itchy armpits. I don't know if it's my deodorant. I'm allergic to most kinds of deodorant. I can only use one. So
Are we sure it's not from the breastfeeding?
It might be. I mean, I have to pump right now. I don't know if you can see these babies, but
they are full. Whoa, they are large and in charge. They look so good. Thanks for sharing. They're wicked. They're wicked, like, up and at attention right now.
I tried on a bathing suit the other day, and I was like, if only I could wear my bathing suit before I feed my babies, it'd be great. And then I put it back on
after the
babies, and I was like, oh, there we go. Need a new bathing suit. It looked like a completely different suit. Like, it's just not fair. I'm going to be walking around engorged all summer in order to wear my bathing suit.
There's a hack.
Yeah, there you go. There's a hot tip. Hot tip.
It's worth beauty is pain.
Beauty is pain. I was just going to say that too. Beauty is pain.
You might get a clogged duct, but you're going to look good.
Okay, tell me your little thought about the itchy armpit. I never heard that associated with breastfeeding.
Oh my God. I would have itchy armpits the entire time I breastfed and so sweaty. They would just be constantly sweating and gross. And I remember Daniel looking at me once being like, "Hun, I think you might need a shower." And I'm like, okay. First of all, you don't need to tell me when I need to shower. And this was like postpartum, you know, like early days.
In the thick of it.
And two, like, I don't know why I'm so smelly, but just so you know I smell like shit too. So we're on the same page. I don't know what it was. When I breastfed, I was just constantly sweating from my armpits. Nowhere
else. And like stinky sweat.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like stress sweat. Like stink. Like,
yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Anyway, it went away and I just couldn't be bothered to show. Like, I just was like, I just don't care. Like,
that's something that, like, people don't talk about in postpartum as well, is the sweats, like the night sweats. Like, sometimes you have to change your sheets at night, like, you know, That hasn't happened to me yet, but, and my armpits don't necessarily get sweaty. You know what's happened to me since the twin pregnancy? I get stomach sweat. It's the strangest thing. It's stomach sweat. And sometimes when I'm, I don't know if it's because I have my high-waisted leggings on or what, but my stomach sweat is out of control. I don't know why that didn't happen with me to me after Bose. It happened to me this time probably because I have some extra skin floating around down there now. I don't know, but it is like, that's where I sweat from now, my stomach, like my torso.
That, you know what? And this is the stuff we need to normalize. Well, this is what I was just going to say. Yeah. We should post a poll, a question box, and ask people if they're comfortable to tell us what, like, the strangest thing that has happened to you postpartum. Yes. And we'll share with people so they don't feel, you know, so uncomfortable or whatever it is or gross like I felt.
Yeah.
Like, it's normal. Or, so your stress sweat is coming from your stomach and not
your armpits. Stomach, but I don't even know if it's stress sweat because it happens. Well, maybe my body's stressed, but I'm not stressed when it's happening. That's where I sweat from now.
Well,
if anyone's out there who can break this down for me, I want to know. I want to know the science behind it.
Yeah.
Well, there you have it. Any stomach sweat experts out there? Let us know. Hit us up. Well, should we stop chat? We could do this forever. Should we wrap up our chat for this week and jump right in? Give the people what they want. They've been waiting impatiently for a week now for part two. Should we throw them part two right now and dive into our second part of our wonderful chat with Tara Forgeron?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Enjoy. I really enjoyed a post you made. Maybe really enjoyed isn't the proper terminology, but on Bell Let's Talk Day, Tara, you had a really, really thought-provoking post from your professional account, I thought. And it touched on the fact that people are talking about it now, and people are open to discussing their mental health concerns and their wellness and et cetera. But now what? How does the system meet that? And I know we could dive, I'm sure, deep into systemic issues and what needs to be fixed. And that might be too big of a mountain to climb right now. But in terms of that access and advocacy, how do people navigate through the system that we are in currently? I mean, you touched on it with the virtual world opening things up, which is encouraging, but how does someone advocate for their mental health? What does a typical path look like for someone who isn't necessarily in distress or urgent distress, but knowing that they need to check in their mental health and wellness? What does that look like for them?
Yeah. So honestly, and it's, even my response to this might seem a bit helpless or not as upbeat as I want it to be, but it's unfortunately just the reality of where we are. So I would love it if there were plentiful psychologists or therapists available for people, but that's kind of what I spoke to on my account, was that there's not, and that's a big part of the issue. It's not encouraging people not to speak up. There's so much importance within that, but if you contact any private practice and of course public as well, the wait lists are so long. And so to provide that background, part of what I was mentioning was that I couldn't sit there and say, okay, yes, just speak up. And there's so much importance in that when I'm having your sister, Amanda, unfortunately have to turn people away all of the time because we're not opening things up. So what I would hope is that if anyone is wanting to speak to someone, that they can call an office or get in touch with your community mental health service, which is free. There's just typically a bit of a longer wait there. But that they reach out and hopefully find a practitioner that is going to be a good fit. You can kind of tell that by their bio and whatnot. And to book an appointment, even if, again, if you wanted to do it proactively every 2 months or so, can be something that is helpful. And again, with the virtual piece opening up, the good news is that we can also reach out to people within the same province as well that might be hours and hours away. So hopefully that can open up more options for people. Even within, you know, Nova Scotia or various provinces looking to broaden their search, essentially.
Right.
So that all of the tips I've mentioned before, even in terms of mindfulness or meditation, you know, gratitude, challenges, different things like that people can get a part of. I'm looking as well, just part of this issue is by being able to put out, looking to put out different courses and content online so that people can take them, not as a substitute for individual therapy, but just to have a bit of a different realm that people can access if there's too much of a wait.
Absolutely.
So. Well, that access to information is incredibly important, I think. So that's really exciting to hear.
Yeah.
And we broke down mindfulness. Maybe we'll break down meditation for people. Because again, I'm a visual learner. So things pop up in my head when you say these words. And, you know, does meditation look like sitting on the floor with your elbows on your knees and your hand, you know, like, or what is meditation? How can people practice that if they're unfamiliar with that term?
Yes. And it can certainly look like that. So meditation is basically just a formal practice of what mindfulness is. So when we speak about mindfulness, we speak about bringing, that awareness to different activities that we're doing. So as I mentioned about the conversation I'm having, if I'm eating a really great piece of chocolate, being mindful about that, reading, anything at all. Meditation is typically what, just to kind of paint that visual, is you're in a seated position, your legs can be crossed, they don't have to, whatever's comfortable for you. Basically just a position so that you can stay alert and awake. So we don't want people to fall asleep when they're meditating, unless they're listening to a guided meditation that is for sleeping purposes. But the reason for that is that we want to practice simply bringing awareness to what's coming up in the mind. And it is not to, contrary to popular belief, meditation is not to have a completely clear mind. That's not the goal of it. If that happens for people, wonderful, but it's very rare that that's going to. So our mind is meant to think. That's what our mind does, right? Is it has a bunch of thoughts. So you're certainly not doing anything wrong if the moment you close your eyes, a bunch of thoughts come up. That's completely normal.
That's good.
But what we want to do, what we want to do is simply bring awareness to our mind, having that thought, letting that go, and then practicing bringing our awareness back to either our breath or something in the moment that's going to kind of hold us here. So it could be something as simple as bringing it into the inhales and exhales, then our mind might drift again, let that go, bring it back. Or it might be a mantra. So I know you said om, so it might be something like that. If people are doing a particular route of meditation, then they might introduce mantras. But usually within a mindfulness meditation, it's just bringing awareness to your breathing.
Awesome. Very helpful. Thank you for that.
And the purpose behind that too, just to kind of speak a little bit to that, but the purpose behind that again is so that we don't get too caught up in our thoughts and in our feelings and judgments that we have. So it's kind of like playing a bit of the observer role. And so that can help us again, if we're able to practice that through meditation, it kind of primes us for more stressful experiences down the road by preparing for that. So if someone's in a really stressful situation and they've, you know, been practicing mindfulness or meditation, they might notice a bit of a shift in how they respond to that experience. So they may have noticed before that they were really angry or kind of quick to snap or went from 0 to 100 really, really quickly. Whereas if they make this a regular part of the practice, they'll have that better ability to take a step back, kind of bring awareness to what's going on within their mind, within their body, and then respond a little bit better than actually reacting.
Right. So that practice is so important. And that was a question Jessica and I were discussing when we were preparing for this chat, is how important are those daily routines? I think you may have just answered it, but if there's anything else you want to add, you know, is daily routines important for overall mental wellness?
Yeah, it is. And even in that realm, I think to speak a little bit off topic for a moment, but one of the mistakes that we make when we try to integrate coping strategies from a mental health perspective, in my opinion, is that we wait until the moment we want to use it before using it for the first time, right? So if someone wants to bring more deep breathing into moments where they experience anxiety or high stress, what we of course want to do is use that first when there's no stress at all. Right, trying to get into that practice, into that routine, so that your mind actually knows what to do, how to deal with it, so that when that moment arises, you have a better idea of how that works and how that feels for you. So that's one of the reasons why people kind of knock a technique or a coping strategy really quickly is when they haven't given it enough time kind of preventatively. So right. It's kind of like me deciding, okay, on Saturday, I want to, and kind of what we were speaking about before we pressed record, but on Saturday, I want to run a half marathon.
Right.
Of course, I'm not going to be able to do that. Yeah, I need to, right. My body needs weeks and months of practice.
Right.
By getting myself there, but we're really impatient from a mental health perspective. We kind of want it to work, yeah. Right, yeah. Like that.
Right.
So
yeah.
If we can kind of think about it in the same way, is that the work is being done underneath the surface in our mind. We're just not able to see it yet if the results aren't there. So just knowing that it's still happening is key. Yeah.
That's so important. And what a great reminder, especially in the current landscape we're all in or have been in the last few years of, we live in a world of instant gratification. We're used to, you know, a click of a button or a quick response or, you know, so sometimes mm-hmm. we get uncomfortable when things take a little bit more time. Our communication yeah. behavior and patterns are following suit with the communication technologies that we've been using. Mm-hmm. So that is a really, really great reminder. Definitely.
Yeah. Now, I know I keep looping everything back to kids, children, but it's just my educational background. It's my field of work. I wanted to ask if you would touch on self-regulation, because I know that I think it's new in the last number of years that it's kind of, we're talking about it a lot in schools and classrooms, how important it is for children to be self-regulated. But my point is that how can we expect our children to be self-regulated or our students or any children that we're working with if we're not regulated ourselves? And a lot of adults are kind of like, what even is self-regulation or how do I go about being self-regulated?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think to answer your question really quickly, I think that you're right, is that we can't expect our kids to be self-regulated if we're not. So we have a really awesome child psychologist here. I am not one of them. I don't deal with kids, but her name is Elise. And I came in one day that I had the kids on my own. Jared was away for work and it was just a morning.
Chaos.
And it was near the beginning of the school year. Ben was getting used to a new school, didn't want to go, the whole works. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so I came in and she recommended a book. And it's called No Drama Discipline. And it was really, really helpful, but it really touches on a lot of that, Jessica, in terms of we can't expect kids to be able to regulate their emotions, even if we can right from the get-go. Like we're again, getting back to this patience and tolerance piece, we're very impatient with kids, even when we're really patient right. individuals.
Absolutely.
We want them to make these like leaps and bounds overnight in terms of being able to regulate their emotions. And they're just figuring out what they are. Like they barely mm-hmm. at a certain age have names for them. So how can we expect them to be able to, you know, bring in some deep breathing right away? They don't want to do that. So there was a certain post that Elise, the other psychologist shared with me that someone had said, and it was basically, okay, if you were in a coffee shop and one of your friends came in and she was just hysterical, just couldn't hold it together, was so upset about something, could barely get her words out, how would you deal with that? Would you A, tell her that she's embarrassing you, she's got to get her shit together, or she's, you know, you're going to leave immediately? Or would you start counting her down from 5 to 1 when you reach, you know, you tell mm-hmm. her, okay, when you reach 1, then you've got to knock this off or we're going to go. Of course, we wouldn't use any of those things. And we kind of right. laugh as we're even thinking about doing that. But we do that with our kids that don't have a yeah. sweet clue mm-hmm. what's mm-hmm. going on or what's happening or how to calm this big emotion. So of course they're stomping their feet because they don't know how to get it out.
Right.
So we have way higher expectations for kids in a lot of settings, particularly with emotional regulation, than we do for ourselves. I know, I don't know about you guys, but depending on the day, I respond completely differently to various stimuli than I do on other days. So I could spill a cup of coffee this morning, and if I'm in a great mood, I could just laugh it off. That's yeah. nothing.
Right.
And on Monday morning, in the mad rush of everything, if I spill mm-hmm. a cup of coffee, I could be cursing and just like
yeah.
losing my, you know what. So exact same scenario, but we deal with it differently on different days. So kids are the exact same way, But sometimes we're kind of like, what the heck's going on with him when I know that he's capable of handling his emotions better? Well, so am I, but I don't always do it. Right.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Pat and I have often said the last little while, we have to remind ourselves that Bo isn't even three yet. Like sometimes our reaction is to be like, you know, Bo, come on, what are you doing? And then it's like, wait, he's not even 3 years old. He doesn't know. Yeah. Right. Sometimes we don't know. Like you just said, that's so important. And sometimes I think we can project our adult experiences or our adult behaviors onto our children, our adult reactions. You know, why can't you understand it this way? Jessica, I know you're a big, big proponent for that, of kind of meeting kids where they're at and understanding those developmental milestones.
And I love the example that you gave with the girl in the coffee shop. Like, we have to give our children the respect that they deserve, but oftentimes people forget that they're kids. And like we're saying, they expect them to do X, Y, Z, but they're just not capable, and that's okay. But yeah, I find it a big thing that if we're not regulated, we can't expect our kids to be. And a lot of adults don't know how to self-regulate, to take a deep breath themselves and say, okay, why am I upset? Why is this triggering me? You know, why is this situation upsetting me more than it should be? Or why is it upsetting me more than it's upsetting my toddler or child? So just being, you know, mindful of that. And yeah, that was a good example. I think a lot of people are going to be like, wait, that makes a lot of sense.
You know what it made me think of? Is, and I'm really interested to know if this is something you feel or not, maybe it's just me, but when you were saying that, I was thinking, so I pictured Jessica coming into the coffee shop and how I would react to that. And it would be to meet her with what you said, like, okay, breathe, calm down, I'm here. I wouldn't be rushing her out of the store. Definitely not. And if it was my toddler, I would have said, probably counted to three and wanted to leave. But I think it's a selfish reason. I think because the child is a reflection of me, like, am I embarrassed that he's causing a scene and I want to protect myself from those glares, where Jessica is her own human and responsible for that behavior. So it's not a reflection of me. I'm just trying to help her through it.
It's all about, I think, too, how you're brought up and how maybe you were, you know, raised in terms of those, your parents' parenting styles. And for me, it's my educational background and my work experience, whereas Daniel is in the work of trade. So he's a instrumentation technologist, and he'll be the first one to say that he didn't really know what parenting was going to look like. So we've had some really interesting conversations where he has thought where I'm perhaps hugging Logan if he's having a tantrum perhaps, or a meltdown. And he's looking at me thinking, are you just rewarding that? And it took us a few conversations for him to realize, oh, wait, I understand now. So it's a lot of the time parents aren't purposely trying to do these things. Like, they just think, well, this is what my parent did, or this is what my friend did, or this is what I witnessed in Walmart when a child was melting down, instead of thinking, okay, is there a better way to go about it? Right. So just these conversations, I think, alone will just give people that opportunity to think, oh, like, maybe I could respond in a different way or a better way that might help my little one cope. Right.
And sometimes it's what's the immediate fix, right? Like, what will do this quicker? What can get me through this quicker?
Which you can also understand, because it's like we were saying, it's chaotic sometimes. It's hard. Mm-hmm. It's not always great. And as Tara said, sometimes it's not always rewarding. And we have to respect that some parents do need to do what they need to do at the time, because that's what's going to get them through that moment, right? Yep. So there's a lot to it.
What are some wellness goals that you think we should, I know we're individuals and those may look different, but what are some general wellness goals for someone who's just kind of starting to reflect on their mental wellness and trying to ease some of the chaos around them? What are a few wellness goals? What, where, when, why, how, what does that look like? What's your advice for that, Tara?
I would tell people to get a little bit more clear on their values, in terms of them as an individual, who they want to be, what kind of person they want to be in a relationship, as a parent, if they are one, what they value in terms of the workplace, different areas of their life, personal lifestyle, et cetera. And then to kind of allow that to break down their individual wellness goals. So if someone really values being a really kind partner in a relationship, maybe something that they can do to kind of make that a little bit more tangible down to a goal is to look at, okay, when I walk through the door at the end of the day, am I making eye contact with my partner? Am I going over and giving them a kiss? Or are we just kind of saying, hey, how's your day? Yep, good. You know, kind of moving right on to the next thing, which many of us can relate with. So looking at that time together about how you want that to look. If you were an outsider looking in, how would you see yourself and your partner interact, communicate, be with one another, and then kind of breaking that down into goals. So it does really depend on what you would want as an individual, what kind of area you want to work on in your life. If it's more general or broader wellness, I would always say that, you know, the typical broken robot, but the typical mindfulness or meditation can be a really great way to start. Always connecting with people as well, just even stay accountable on your goals can be an important part of it too, just yeah, so that you have that accountability.
Accountability. Wow. That is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it really is. Mm-hmm. One interesting question, and it comes off those last two that we just had, is how do you feel being in the field you're in and the profession you're in daily? Does that impact your parenting or how you parent? Do you feel you're more equipped in certain areas? Do you feel like you know too much maybe in some areas? You know, I think a doctor or a nurse sometimes are the worst patients because it's you know so much, right? Yeah. So what does that look like for you when you're trying to look at your professional life and your parenting life?
Yeah, I do think that it's helped me perhaps again be a little bit more proactive with recognizing, okay, I really need to work on, you know, kind of similar to our other conversation, I really need to work on my expectations of him. Like you said, Jessica, where is that even coming from? Am I finding that I'm saying certain things to Ben, my 5-year-old, I'll use him because I run into more parenting examples than my 18-month-old, but with him, am I running into scenarios where I'm saying, kind of rhyming off things that I grew up with even, you know, that aren't necessarily problematic, but are they working for him, right? So even if it's something as simple as, okay, have 3 more bites of this food and then you can get that, is that the kind of relationship I want him to have with food, where he recognizes that all of these vegetables are just, you know, shit you've got to get through before yeah, you get to the real yeah, dessert,
right? Right.
You know, where yeah, the not so exciting stuff, basically. So little things like that, like I said, weren't necessarily really problematic, but just give me perhaps a little bit more insight into recognizing relationship that I want him to have, for instance, with food or sleep or his emotions or different things like that.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Thank you for sharing that. This has been just so, I guess I was going to say eye-opening, but can we use mind-opening, perhaps?
Oh, good one.
I'm really thankful of your time today, and we know how precious it is, and we're just so grateful that you would take the time to chat with us. We do have some questions that we want to ask all of our guests. We think it would be kind of fun to see different perspectives. So should we jump into those, Sarah? What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it. Jessica and I have the plan to ask all of our guests these series of questions so that we can share different perspectives with all of you. We can learn from all of these different people who are from different sectors and different fields and different experiences. But when they're asked the same question, what does that look like to them? And I think it will be really interesting as we gather some of these responses from Tara and from future guests to learn and laugh, hopefully alongside of you. So we have a few questions we'll ask you. We'll just take turns. Jessica can go first. And we really look forward to some of your responses here, Tara.
No pressure though.
Good.
Yeah.
So Tara, what advice do you have for your future self?
Are these supposed to be rapid fire ones, or
you can think? No, it's okay.
Okay. My future self, I would say probably just to slow down and practice what I preach by being in the moment more and more.
Yeah.
That's a great nice one. The next one is, how do you define success?
I think success, and I say this partly because I think it's helped me even as a therapist to see people who come from all walks of life. And so when we look at the typical, perhaps society's definition of success in terms of having lots and lots of money and being able to afford everything, knowing that those people aren't any happier at the end of the day. So
right.
I think my own success, I would define it as my ability to be able to bring gratitude to what's around me, to experience that I'm having, to sure material as well, but relationships that I have with people in my life. If we don't have that ability to slow down and really appreciate it, then there's not much point in having it. So I think that's certainly a practice that I strive to continue practicing on a regular basis, and something that will be important in the future too.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. Jessica and I chatted a little bit about this last week. Is I was saying, when I grew up, and I think I saw a meme of this lately, it's like a pie chart and it's split into two, and success is defined by your title and how much money you have in your bank account. And I said, I understand that. And I think I felt that for a long time. But as I got older, I was learning that success to me is also, you know, your work-life balance, or your flexibility within your schedule, or, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that pie chart is cut way differently, yeah. I think, or it needs to be, yeah. It looks different for everyone, but success means professional, first of all. Success could be defined by so much, and your title or your finances, kind of detaching that from there and moving away from that a little bit. So you just answered that so beautifully. It's very inspiring to kind of think of that gratitude and your experiences around you.
What do you wish you knew then that you know now?
I might piggyback on our other conversation to say that motherhood is going to be hard and rewarding, and all of it's okay.
Yeah.
What is something you learned, or what is a positive that you'll take from this pandemic, the life in the last year living in this?
Part of me as an empath feels guilty looking even at the positive for people who have, you know, not experienced that. But I do think that we've come together more as a family in the last year or so. And so I think that strengthened things up quite a bit. So my husband was the one having to stay at home a lot more in the earlier days with the kids while I was coming to work. Even to do virtual sessions and whatnot. And so I think that, I think we just had more appreciation for one another when we kind of came back to things, as opposed to him feeling resentful when he was at home that I was at work. And I'm sure there were some days that he did. He will laugh if he listened to this, but he's very social. He's very sociable and extroverted. And so that all had to be drastically put on hold for him.
Right.
So I didn't experience a big change. I didn't experience much of a difference in that regard. Of course some, but I think once he got over that hump and then we kind of just looked at how we could have fun at home, it really was a positive experience amidst all of the heartache that was going on out there for a lot of people.
Yeah. Anything you've learned about yourself or maybe about your husband? About others?
He can do the dishes a lot more than he
said he was. An important lesson.
In the first many years. No. I think the resiliency among people has been really, really eye-opening to see how we can be so separated physically, particularly during those first several months where we really weren't allowed to have physical distance with one another. Yet the simple glances, I remember even going for walks and runs and seeing an older man, and there was just a different kind of eye contact and a different smile and little things like that. So I think that ability to come together as human beings, even though we are physically apart, has been really a really cool thing to see and learn.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. I think we may have touched on this already. We'll say two more and then we'll go to the what would you rather, but the how do you manage a work-life balance?
I don't think that I do aside from the fact I don't, and I say that in that I don't think that there's this balance, and I think that term can be a bit misleading to all of us. So the best that I do in that regard is that I try, wherever I'm physically present, I try my best to be mentally present. So if I'm at home with the kids, I try to be home with the kids. And if I'm at work, I try to be at work, and just checking in when I'm not, and to kind of determine how I can let go and regroup.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to let you go without hearing your thoughts on that question, because I was so interested, and it is so refreshing to hear you say that, because that is just, you know, none of us feel like we're really accomplishing a balance of sorts. And it's nice to hear you kind of put that into perspective for us. It's nice
to also hear from a psychologist that it's okay to be at work and be fully immersed in your work. Because I always say that I feel like I'm never alone in my thoughts anymore, that I'm always, say if I'm working and a half hour has gone by and I haven't thought about Logan, I'm like, oh my God, I haven't thought about him in a half hour. Like, what does that mean? Like, I forgot to think about him, but I was just immersed in my work. And I think just hearing from you that that's okay and that's important, because my work is important. And although being a mother is a very large role in my life, it's not the only role. So just trying to compartmentalize that. I appreciate that. Thank you.
And again, if guilt comes in there, your husband's name is Daniel, right? You said?
Yes.
And it's certainly nothing against men. It's just differences within the way that they're socialized. So, okay, if he was at work and didn't think of him in a half an hour, would he kind of have that, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me, right? So it can help us to check that out as well, how our husbands respond to guilt or lack thereof versus how we do.
Right, and Daniel and I have had this conversation, and he would say, I wouldn't think, oh, I haven't thought about Logan in a half hour. He would just think about Logan.
Right.
Yeah. And that would be it. Yeah. Like, right. There wouldn't be a thought about it.
Yeah, that's so interesting.
There's nothing wrong with me. Mm-hmm.
And in terms of mom guilt, we know dad guilt, I don't think really is a thing or is popular. Is dad brain a thing? Because mom brain seems to be a thing. Dara, do you have any thoughts on mom brain?
Yeah, well, I have it.
Yeah, okay, good. We all do.
Aside from that, my other friend, who's a psychologist, a different kind, but she told me, I think prior to when I had Ben, that moms can experience a cognitive decline of like 30% within the first however many months. I can't remember the exact number of months, but it might have been in the first year or so. But and that just, that helped me very much throughout, and still does, when I find that I'm having a conversation with my husband and I can't think of the word that I'm trying to say, and I feel it's a really weird really weird phenomenon. So I don't think there's any research on dad brains when they start to perhaps stay at home a little bit more, or the paternity leave is happens just as much as a maternity leave. That could be interesting to see if that happens.
Yeah. So there's science behind it. I'm going to say that now. It's science. That's why my memory is. Just doesn't.
I'll have to reach out to your friend and ask her, like, is that supposed to come back?
Because you
said 30% decline for the first few months. I'm like, I didn't get it back. It's been 2.5 years.
Almost 5 years in. Where's mine?
We're also really excited to ask our guest this question, and I gave you a little preamble to it before, and you can answer it anyway. You know, we talked about past, present, future. You can, maybe it's something about the future, something about the past, or maybe it's something right now, but we'd like you to finish this sentence. I wonder.
I wonder what my kids will be like when they're older.
Aww,
their little personality.
Yeah. That's so interesting to think about, isn't
it?
He
is so feisty and temperamental and throws every, he's the complete opposite of Ben, and he was and still is so gentle and timid. So it'll be really interesting to see what they're like.
Oh, that's so lovely. That'll be so lovely.
So I don't know if you've listened to the pod so far, Tara. I hope you
I have.
But we did a what would you rather session or podcast. So we thought it would be fun to ask our guests a what would you rather, just some quick ones to wrap up our time together. So would you rather tea or coffee?
Coffee.
Ooh,
how do you take those tea drinkers?
How do you take your coffee, Tara?
Well, usually just with a little bit of almond milk, but over the last 3 months, I've kind of treated myself to a little silk creamer as well, like soy creamer. Yummy.
Okay. Would you prefer red or white?
I don't drink as much anymore, but I would say red if I had to pick, certainly red. Yep.
And our final what would you rather series of questions here. So would you rather have a phone battery that is always charged or a gas tank that is always full?
I would say phone battery. Most likely. because my logic behind this is because I am more introverted and can stay home, I feel like I wouldn't need gas to go anywhere.
Good. Okay.
Especially in the virtual world now.
Yeah.
Even though with the gas, so that question makes me a little bit uneasy because, and again, my husband will laugh. He's driven on a tank where it will say there's 1 kilometer left.
Yeah.
And I just don't understand why you wouldn't go fill that up like 50 kilometers ago. But anyways,
so I'm hiding.
My light comes on when it has like 100 kilometers left. I'm like, okay, so I'm going to make my route to the gas station within the next like 20 for sure.
I'm hiding my face because if Patrick's listening right now, he's saying, thank you, Tara, because I am totally a Jared in this situation. Yeah, I'm like, okay, you? Well, the gas light's on. That means I have another X amount of kilometers before I have to stop. And maybe he'll get in the van next and have to fill it.
Yeah. It depends on the season for me. If it's the winter and it's cold, I'm going to make do with what I got and hope that Daniel will catch it on the way to hockey.
Yeah.
In the summertime, I might be more apt to when the gas light comes on, think, okay, might be time to fill up the tank. Yeah. But yeah, that's funny.
Jessica, what would you rather? Your battery always charged or your gas tank always full?
The gas tank always full.
Okay.
Because I don't like braving the elements. Like, is it going to be windy? Is it going to be rainy? Am I going to get soaked? What's, you know?
Yeah. I just got a new phone, but before that I was living on a really old one and the battery was just always dying. So I feel like I'm used to that now.
I think
I may take the gas tank as well. And the final one is, Tara, would you rather be good and be able to play any musical instrument you pick up or to successfully play any sport you tried to play?
Any sport.
Good. I'm picking sport as well. Jessica?
I'm going to go with music.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with music.
Jessica.
Because I would love to be able to sing and play the guitar at the same time.
Good for you.
Yeah. We would like that too.
You'll have to sing on the podcast sometime.
We've been trying to get her. She let out a note or two. So we'll see.
Oh.
Sarah keeps telling people I can sing. And I just let's be clear. I can carry a tune, but I'm not going to go far on American Idol. Like, okay.
Not everyone can carry a tune. So that's a good talent to have. Okay, Tara, thank you so, so much for your time. And we'll give you the last word. So is there anything that you would like to say to wrap up this just wonderful discussion that you've shared with us so much? You've given us so much to think about, so much encouragement and enlightenment around meditation and mindfulness and mental wellness and the importance of prioritizing our own. So is there any final thoughts that you would like to share with all of us?
Thank you. That's so sweet. And it was a blast. You guys are very, very easy to talk to. So it was really enjoyable. But no, I think the main thing for everyone is, I would say, just to give yourself a little check-in from time to time. Mm-hmm. We are pretty quick to check in with friends and loved ones simply to ask how they're doing. So just a little bit more often, ask how you're doing, and then see where you need to go from there, given how your response is.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And hopefully if you haven't checked in a while, everyone, this can be your check-in. It can serve as your check-in, or it can remind you to do a little deeper reflection and check in with yourself a little further. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for joining us at the table for this meeting. We are so glad you joined us, like always.
If this episode was interesting, if you enjoyed it, please subscribe to our podcast, throw us a review, give us a like, visit us on social media. You can find us on Instagram at The Morning Meeting, and you can send us an email to themorningmeetingpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you for sitting around our table today. We are so glad you were here with us, and we hope to see you again soon.